All right, let's get into it. So today I want to talk about God's purifying love, right? His fire, his all-consuming fire. And this one goes really deep for me because it's where I've started to notice all of my problems start to go away. I remember I did a message like a few months ago about pruning. So this one can be, I guess, similar to it. But at the same time, I also want to talk about a few other things that I didn't mention in the past. But I titled this message, Into the Fire. Okay, we're going to go deep into talking about what it means to jump into the fire, right? And talk about God and as we recognize him as an all-consuming fire. If you're able to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13. I'm really excited about this message. I work weekends, so I didn't really have much time to really like sit down for hours to prepare, but I like to think that as a good thing, you know, because if I'm sitting there preparing, I'm not really preparing myself. And that's what I'm really thankful for. I remember there was an individual who came here and was talking about just like how someone asked him a question, like, how do you prepare for what God is going to do in you? And the answer was very like quick and simple. You prepare yourself, you know. Before God asks you to do anything for him or for anyone, just prepare yourself first before you come out with all of these things to do and all of these ideas. But I digress. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Everyone say fire. That was good. And the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. Okay? So, bottom line, right? Christ is the foundation, right? And what we build on top of that foundation will be tested, right? It will be tried. It will be, in other words, can be said perfected in a way, okay? But sometimes when we build on this foundation, we build it improperly, right? We build it with sand, with straw, wood, whatever, instead of like solid things. And how do we know if it will stand, right? If we build something upon the foundation, if we build something for ourselves, how would we know if it will stand? Well, you put it in the fire. You let it be tested through fire, right? I'm gonna be your middle school science teacher. How do you purify gold? Fire. This is how things are purified, in heat, right? And in Hebrews 12:29. Says this, for our God is a consuming fire, right? And that's what I want to get into today. I want to talk about his consuming fire and where our problems really truly belong. Because inside of each person, there's gold. There's a big chunk of high value, precious metals, right? From the day we were born into this world, we have this thing inside of us. However, when we live throughout this world, we collect things. We things start to latch onto us as we live our lives, right? We have certain friends that we hang out with, that we have certain habits that we partake in, and there begins to be impurities surrounding this precious metal, this gold that's inside of us. And there comes a time where God will test you. If you're not asking the questions, if you're not asking yourself the questions, What am I doing with my life? What have I been doing with myself, with the gift that God has given me, right? There will be times of testing, okay? And a lot of the times we think it's, oh crap, we're being put on the spot and we can fail. No, no. I would like for us to idealize these times of testing as an opportunity to throw ourselves into the fire and to let anything that is inside of us that should not be there burn, okay? In other words, what am I saying? You need to burn. The old you has to die. You have to burn and burn and burn until there is only one thing that remains, okay? Just God, right? You recognize that everything I have been building my life upon is a lie. It's a sham. It's kaputz. It's meaningless. And when we have these seasons of testing, these times of testing, this is an opportunity for us to realize that. We think of it, oh, it's a bad thing. God's taking things away. No, you should have let go of these things from the beginning. These things shouldn't have even attached to you. Because no matter how innocent something might seem on the surface, if it hinders the quality and the relationship you have with Christ, the way you perceive him, it already costs too much. No matter how innocent it might seem, what it looks like on the surface, if it in any way, shape, or form takes you away from where God is supposed to put you, where he wants you, okay? It already costs too much. It's not worth it. And that's how that little seed of doubt, of insecurity, of false hope gets planted into your life. And you have all of these things these weeds in your garden that need to go away. They're not like, what the heck is all this? You know? I work on Amazon and sometimes I walk on people's grass and their lawn and they're like, why are you walking on my grass? I'm like, what grass? It's just weeds. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, I kind of have an attitude a little bit, but it's all right. God's working on that. For our God is a consuming fire. See, we part of the things we collect that need to be burned away, right? The questions. You got to start asking yourself the questions, okay? What am I doing? What have I been building? Throw it into the fire, okay? You have doubts in your ability to do your job correctly because of some things you're dealing with on the inside. Throw yourself into the fire. You're worried that people might toss you aside, might take things away from you. Throw yourself into the fire. But what do I mean by that? What do I mean? His presence. His presence is what we really need. And that's what I truly mean when I say throw yourself into the fire. What I'm trying to say is put yourself in the presence of God. Because this is what we truly need. Because in the beginning, this is how we first experienced and had the revelation of God's love. It was through his presence, right? We've reached the end of ourselves. We've done all the things we can do, A to Z. We've done it all, okay? And I'm wondering, what the heck is there left to do? What is out there? And you lower yourself. You just like, I give up. You let go. And then God's like, that I can work with. And then his presence fills you with love. And it says, it's his kindness that will lead you to repentance. Some of us have people in our lives, family members, that look at us with so much judgment and so much like, oh, you know, like they kind of almost maybe cringe, I guess you could say that. And all you can feel is that like, man, I need to get my life together, but it's not through love. You weren't loved to the point where you want to do it. You're being like judged and being tried and almost in a way executed for the things that you did. No, God doesn't work like that. God's kindness and his love and his mercy washes over you in the times where you feel like you don't deserve it. Because in reality, we don't, but we receive it anyways. And that is what leads us to repentance and true transformation, because we cannot be transformed if we don't change. See, we all like the idea of a transformed mind, right? Transforming by the renewing of our mind, but we need to change things, meaning you need to pluck things out. You need to let God in and burn those suckers to the ground until nothing but gold remains in you. Those impurities that you've been collecting in your life, it's not worth it. Just let it, just throw yourself into the fire. Let God reveal to you who you truly are in him. It's that simple. However, how you look smart is you don't say but you say however, you change those words, you know? In order for God to actually consume anything inside of us that doesn't belong, we have to allow him to. We have to allow him inside of us. We have to be willing to actually burn, because you know we sing these worship songs, right? I want to be tried by fire, purified, you know, like burn me, Lord, burn me. But there is a cost. There's like a, it's like a dangerous prayer almost, is like what we like to call. Are you ready? God says, saying, are you ready for me to burn you? To see what is actually meant to be there and what has been a construct of your behavior for years and years and years. Are you ready to be burned and be reduced so much? God's trimming all that excess fat that you've been, you know, building up, bulking, you know? He's trimming off all that excess fat so that the only thing that remains is his nature, is his personhood inside of you. And that's how, when you truly come out on the other side, you say, I have not just been transformed, but I have been changed from the inside out. And all of my friends can barely recognize me. That is a good thing. When you change for God and people cannot, that you once knew, do not recognize you, they don't want to talk to you anymore, that is a good thing, because you let God's fire burn in you so deep that there is anything that was not supposed to be there in the first place, gone. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen for that? Can I get an amen? Yeah. I'm sorry. We're not like those black Pentecostal churches, you know, so we're slobs. I know you guys are deep thinkers. That's totally fine. I'd love to go to one of those churches just to kind of like feel it, but I mean, there's YouTube, so. Like on my free time, I like to look at, watch videos of old school Pentecostal revivals and like people heckling. And then the guy like, you know, the preacher just like, and the guy like falls out. So funny. And then the guy in the background like playing the keys, you know, it's like, it's like the funniest thing. I'm like, what happened, you know? But different times, you know. We got upgraded, I guess you can say. So, what we really need, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, okay? Is, by the way, disclaimer, okay? My real world experience in speaking, guys, I preach to teenagers, okay? I preach to 12 to 15 year olds, okay? So please go easy on me, okay? I know I'm working on talking to employed individuals who drive a car and have a job, okay? So just bear with me, okay? Like this is, I'm doing the best I can, all right? We have to keep his presence, okay? Because it's not, being thrown into the fire isn't just always jumping into a furnace. No, there is a fire inside of us. Each and every person, right? For the hopes that we burn slowly. okay? Because we either burn hot and fast, right? We call that hype. What is hype? Hype, it's nothing. It comes and it goes. It's here and it's gone. It's hot, it's flashy, it's unattractive, you know? It's maybe to some people, but it doesn't last. You want to burn slow, right? Like a burn pile. When I was in, I believe it was in my first year of ministry school, we had city projects where the school body would basically serve the community, the local community, and there was like stuff that the city had, like parks and whatnot, and certain areas, certain properties belonged to the city, where the students would volunteer to maintain all this stuff, and there were burn piles, right? We would, California, this doesn't apply to Washington because it ain't that hot in here. I mean, come on, it's middle of August and it was raining the past 2 days. Like, come on, all right? This is probably like foreign to some of us, unless you used to live in California, but there's burn piles, controlled burn piles. And we would build these piles, and we would build them in groups. And a lot of the times, a lot of the guys are like, "Oh, let's build it real fast. Let's get it all together. Let's build it as big as possible, and all that stuff." But then when you light it on fire, first of all, if they see it like a big pile with a bunch of air inside, they're gonna be like, "No," because that's just gonna burn way too hot, and then it's not gonna burn everything in the pile, right? The fire, in order for a fire to burn properly, to burn for a while, for a long burn, it needs to rest on itself. There needs to be a core, a center, that basically fire rests on itself and gradually maintains the heat. But if you have all these air pockets in, all these giant air pockets, holes, and it's huge, it burns really hot. You guys ever thrown like a big branch with a bunch of leaves on it and just whoosh, and then it gone? And what's funny is not the whole branch doesn't even burn, right? It's just all of that thin stuff just goes. So in order for us to burn slowly for a long period of time, right, translating it to church language, right, we have to rest ourselves on God, right? Because if we have this fire inside of us, we don't want it to die out, right? We want it to remain. We want it to stay. We want to keep tending to that fire, so that we don't burn out, you know? Keep your oil lamps full, right? And in order to keep the presence, you have to treat it like a person, okay? I'll say this again. The presence of God is a person. It's not a feeling. It's not a something, okay? It is a person. In the presence of God is where we begin to know God's heart. Like I said earlier, when we reach the end of ourselves and we're at the dead end of our lives, and we've surrendered everything, we've let go of everything till we're just waiting on God, and he shows up. Okay? That's how we begin to know him. It's his presence. That's our first direct, first contact, you know, when they, it's called Star Trek, you know, when they encounter a new species of, you know, aliens, and they introduce, that's first contact, right? Our first contact with God is through his presence. Yeah, we're a Star Trek family, so what? Okay. In the presence of God, everything we need is revealed, right? It's the presence of God, guys. It's the presence. It's the presence. Anything else, it's not important. Your connection to his presence, it's the most important thing for you. How do we stay connected? How do we stay connected to the presence? Practically, we're Slavs. We like practicals. We like, okay, yeah, you're flapping your gums over here, but what do you mean, right? Worship. Right? Mom's right there. Emma's right there. Like, I'm not a worship speaker or a worship leader or singer or musician, but I don't like to think that just because of my calling, it elevates my opinion. All right? Your calling does not elevate your opinion in the matter. What is worship? Worship isn't something we do in a building. It's us acknowledging God in his glory in everything. Right? So it's a posture of our heart as we live our lives, we worship the Lord, right? Look, the music is gone. The musicians are gone. The lights are down. But worship doesn't just stop right there. Worship doesn't just full stop, done. No. Worship continues as we live our lives, as how we behave, how we respond to things, not react, how we respond to situations in our lives, right? It is a costly fragrance to God that we act a certain way, we behave in a way that where we trust God, we have faith in him, and it just kind of, there's like a smell that comes off of us, that, and God's like, ooh, I like that, you know? Worship is everything we do. It's everything. However, worship is not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It never was, and it will never be. I remember hearing this when God spoke this to me, and I felt so convicted. I felt like I was, no, not convicted. I felt I was offended. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean it's not about me? I'm worshiping you. How is it not about me though? No. Worship is not about you. Why? Because in the presence of God, all of your worries, all your problems, your sin, it pales in comparison to the glory of God. I'll say it again. In the presence of God, our sins, our problems, our worries, they pale in comparison to the glory of God. They melt. When you're worshiping, when you're truly worshiping and you're just seeking the Lord, you're not thinking about your ego. There is no ego. There is no self-preservation. It's just you and God giving him glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is all you can think about. You just think about him and giving him something that is worthy for him. That is, that you just give yourself up as a living sacrifice. Worship is everything. Everything unto the Lord. Gonna get an amen? So when we're worshiping the Lord with all our might and all our strength, we are jumping into the fire. Because in the presence of God, when we're captivated by his presence, we are forever changed. We come out of those doors a different person. Something inside of us is changed. Sometimes we don't really realize it yet, right? But it's happening. It's working. Even if you don't feel it, he's working. Because each day when you gather things, when you accumulate impurities of war, of this world, right? I'm talking about sin. You choose to worship him. Why? Because this is all you know. This is all that you ever know and all you will ever want, because you recognize that this is it. I've done everything. All that's left is his presence. And this gives me more and more and more of more love, more hope, more everything that I possibly need. It gives me more of that than anything else in this world can offer, right? His presence is all we need. So when we let God burn us and dissolve us, one thing remains. Dependence, right? Dependence, not independence, okay? We don't suddenly get touched by God and realize, oh, I've arrived. That's it. I've done everything. I'm good. God, thank you. Mwah, mwah. All right, see you later. I'll be back next Sunday. No, that's stupid. Don't shut up, okay? No, you need him more. The more you get closer to God, the more you realize you cannot live without him. Is that right, senior pastor? Amen. Amen. Exactly, right? You got God, you got Pastor Andre, you got Bill Johnson, you know, you got all these like things. Look, they all need Jesus. They all need God, right? We all do. Just because you've had a radical experience with God doesn't mean, okay, that's it, I'm done. Woohoo! Life is good, all my problems are gone. People who live like that often end up right back where they came from, okay? So you have to let this revelation burn a hole so deep inside of you to where on the outside, when you come out, you realize that you are more dependent on him, right? My fiance, for example, I love you, baby. You're so awesome. And then it's like, but no. She's awesome, okay? Like, I love seeing her, just like doing life with her and everything. She's so, when I think of someone who's dependent on God, I think of her, right? Whether it's we're driving to Costco and we're looking for a parking spot and she starts praying, right? And then we, boom, right there. Like, come on, God, are you listening to me? Like, why you gotta always listen to her, you know? Like, I love her so much because, man, when she prays, like, I don't know, I feel like God just answers her prayers just a teeny bit more than mine, you know? Because but I see it because she's so dependent on him. And I love that about her. And for you single guys, get you a lady like that. Get you a girl piece that loves God, fears God, depends on him, and only wants Jesus and loves Jesus more than you. All right? Because that's a good thing. Put your pride and ego to the side. Watch a woman who loves God and is on fire for God. Let her be herself and let her pursue God and watch when she starts liking you, she's like, oh, you're so cute, you know? And you feel it so much because you know she's not faking it. And hey, and if this don't work out, she's gonna be fine, you know? She's gonna be good. But dependence versus independence, right? I want to tell you this. The world that we live in talks about independence, right? Independent, like, I don't need no man. I don't need no girl. I don't need none of this, you know? It's a sham. It's kaputs. It's garbage. The world, like, independence isn't as big and as important as the world chalks it out to be. It's not. It's foolishness to the eyes of the Lord, right? Where we call it wisdom, right? It says in scripture, the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the eyes of God. You gotta be dependent. Like, take little children, for example. They are some of the most independent people group. They are the most independent group of people in this world. Yet, they are the most dependent. Why? Because the more dependent you are in God, the more freedom you will have in your life. See? And it's like, yeah, a kid is dependent, but how can you say they're independent? Well, you see a little five-year-old walking around, just do whatever they want. Mom's like, you want to eat? No. Do you want to go play? No. Like, come on. They can, like, it's almost like an illusion that they have the independence, but basically what parents do, they just put, like, safety parameters, right? Don't jump off the cliff, you know? You know, put on those arm floaties when you go swimming, right? Just set the kid up for, and why, doesn't God do the same thing for us? Doesn't he protect us and keep us safe like that? He just like puts safety, like those like a pool noodle things that like, so you don't, on those sharp edges, you know, that's like how God does it, right? But when we're kids, we're so dependent on our parents, yet we are so independent. And that is the like image that I want to explain, that I wanted to share with you guys. You know, it's like, be dependent and you will be astonished over the level of freedom that you have. But the moment you realize, the moment you take a step back and backslide, first of all, there is no such thing as a happy backslider, okay? So stop it. Whatever you're doing, stop it, okay? I've been there, okay? It's not fun. It's a, you know? But the moment we take a step back, the more sucky everything is. You know, it's like, where I feel like I'm free, you know, with God. And then once I like start hanging out with the wrong crowd, I start doing stupid stuff, you know, and then it's like my life, there's so much pressure. There's so much like, ugh, you know, like things that aren't really, don't feel right. See, everything inside of us, it has to be dependent on Jesus. Everything. Because if it isn't, well, guess what? You throw it into the fire and you'll see for yourself, right? Jump into the fire. See, and anything that comes up that is comes into your life, whether it's a car, whether it's a motorcycle, whether it's a girl or a boy, right? And it becomes more important than God. That, my friends, is an idol, okay? And we know how God deals with that, all right? Look at the Old Testament, all right? We've seen plenty of that. I don't need to get into it, right? I want to encourage you guys. I don't want to scare you guys, all right? So my question to you, family, is, will you jump into the fire? All right, let's all stand. I don't want to take this too long. Short and sweet. You guys like it? Oh, awesome. Short and sweet, right? I gotta meet with someone on Facebook Marketplace in about like 2 hours, so. But we're making good time. Everyone, stretch out your hands like this. Can you get some music playing? Probably should have given a heads up. Probably just some audio. I don't need a keyboard pianist. Everyone, just close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word, Lord. Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray right now that you permeate the heart of every single person in this room and every single person listening to us online, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that let not our will be done, but yours. And if that there is anything in our lives that should not be there, that should not reside, that it is taking us away from you, Lord, I just pray right now that you just reveal to them your all-consuming fire and burn anything that is too costly, that takes us away from you, that you just remove it and you put in us where that thing was. You put peace. You put joy. You put in gladness. That you give us the heart posture to rejoice in your finished work in the cross. Thank you, Father. You are so good. Lord, teach us to be willing to jump into your fire. Show us, Lord, that it is not scary, that it will not kill us, but it will only kill the sin, the problems, and our worries that dwell inside of us, Lord. Some of you in this room are worried about what your kids are going to be looking like in their future. You're worried about your financial safety, your financial security. Some of you, I feel like maybe have been left, got fired. You've been let go from your job. Some things have taken a turn. The Lord wants you to just throw yourself into the fire. Let God consume all of your worries. Let him consume all of your doubts. Because this is all that you know. And this is all that there ever will be. Because you can chase after the world. You can chase after whatever it is that they bring and whatever it is that they give, but it will come so much less than what God will provide. So Lord, right now, I just pray for peace. I pray for safety. Your shalom peace, Lord. Let it be the thing that we hold most dearly. Your peace, Lord Jesus. Your peace that surpasses all understanding. And let your fire consume us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.